Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says there in the middle of it, "Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land." You know, there cannot be revival in America or anywhere if there is not a seeking of God and a turning from your wicked ways. We have to turn from our ways unto God's ways. And we just have to do that. And without having, you know, those things are almost simultaneous, aren't they? We seek God and turn from our wicked ways. And we may not look at our ways and say, well, our ways are wicked, because we don't want our ways to ever be wicked. But you know, it's so very important to the Lord that He put a whole bunch of verses throughout the Bible. And these verses are not named or aimed at just you, but they're named at all of us. Aimed at all of us. Okay? And focused, ought to be focused upon all of us. I thought about Genesis 3, verse 24, and I want you to notice here the last part of it, but it's talking about how the Lord drove man out of the Garden of Eden, and He drove out man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. The Bible says there, "And a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." It was so important for God. He didn't just go out there and remove the tree of life, but He guarded it. He protected it. And He turned aside every other way. There was going to be no other way to come to the tree of life but the way that God selected, the way that He expected. And that was the only way to get to that point. And this is a personal thing, but it's my belief that it was probably much like we see with the tabernacle, where they would go to that place, and that would be a sacrifice, like an atonement that would occur. And they would offer up an animal sacrifice there in that place where sin first occurred. And God protected that place because God did not want man to destroy and mess up the worship of Him that rightly should occur. And so, but notice those words again. A flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way. See, all ways must bend to what God wants the way to be. And when we realize that and think about that, how much better suited He is at knowing the right path, because God not only sees it on a map, but God knows what the path is like. Years ago, when I was just a little kid, we were up in Georgia. We were traveling along an area, and Dad would say, "Okay, which roads do we take?" And I'd pick a road. It's become famous in our family. I picked the road to, I think it's Utica. So, maybe you don't know where that's at. But it's somewhere between Georgia and North Carolina, out in the middle of nowhere. And it was a much shorter path than taking the interstate and going to another interstate and traveling around. It was a much shorter path on the map. As a matter of fact, it was just a little tiny road. The only problem with the road to Utica is that it was dirt, rocks, and in some points of it, it was only one way. You had to alternate traffic. I got to tell you, there was no traffic anywhere on that road. It was the most miserable 15 miles that I've ever been on in my whole life. You can imagine, because some of you have lived or have gone to places, Miss Hurst, it was much worse than your road that used to be out years ago when you go out there and had the big dip. It was worse than that. The whole way out there. We went out to a place that had a still operational church that rotated every other week as a different denomination. They would have a preacher come in and preach one week that was a Baptist, and the next week they'd have a preacher come in and preach it was a Methodist. Still operating. We were that far out in the middle of nowhere. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure as we were riding down the road to Utica, I saw Ernest T. Bass running through the woods. And this is what I'm saying. Sometimes the shortest roads are not the best roads. No GPS in the world would take that road. See, God would not guide you down a pathway like that. He would always take you down that which is best. That's why we must pay attention to His way. So then how important is it to us that we turn from our wicked ways? Turn from the things which God rejects. I want you to notice these words in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. For it is better to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire." I want you to remember this. The Bible is not saying there that we should go out and chop off parts of our bodies and throw them away. That's not really what the Lord is trying to get to. But if you think about this, imagine for just a minute. If something is offensive to God, it's not just about abstaining from that which is wrong, but it is about realizing and separating yourself from not just the thing that is wrong, but the whole entire way that you're doing things, the way that is wrong. See, we have to change the way that we think. Change the things, not just simply that we do, but why we do what we do. We have to bend all of those things to God's will. See, it's not just about the act, but about the ways, the path, the decision, the goal, the influences. And we have to remember that no matter what, I hear people say, "Well, you know what, I'm going to listen to everybody and I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah." But I'm going to tell you, if someone's going to come out there and they're going to start talking to me about my wife and they're going to be mean to me about my wife, I don't have to sit there and listen to them. And if someone's going to go out there and they're going to be mean and they're going to criticize and attack my God, I don't have to sit there and listen to them. I don't have to let that be my influence. And a lot of times the things that come across the TV and the internet and it come across the radio and print and everything else, a lot of times the people that are putting those things out there are not just simply not Christians, but they're antagonistic towards Christians. They hate God. And we should understand that. If they hate God, the Bible doesn't say they might hate us too. But if they hate God, they are going to hate us too. So we're out there with people that are hateful to us. And then this is the things that we're holding on to. Remember there, poor Lot, who had to literally be pried out of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They had to take him and grab him and physically remove him. And even then, that was not enough. His wife looked back. He couldn't take with him his kids because his kids wouldn't listen to him. His sons-in-laws laughed at him. The Bible doesn't even mention his own sons what miserable state they must be in. They wouldn't even listen to him as well. So Lot had to be physically removed from that city. And he almost lost his life because of his hand. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, "If thine hand offend thee, cut it off. But I offend thee, pluck it out." He's not saying, by the way, that we should chop our hand off. You can still lose a hand and still have the same problem that you had before. You can lose a foot and still have the same sin problem you had before, and you can lose an eye. But what he's saying is we should be willing to cast away that thing in our life that keeps us from serving God. It's amazing to me how many times I will have young people come in to church dead asleep in church because they've been staying up all night playing video games. It's not that video games cannot addict you. It's just that those things shouldn't determine your way in life. There are very few people in this world that make it playing video games. And make money playing video games. I was listening to a guy one time, and he's a financial advisor, and he was just talking about this with his kids. His son said, "I need, you know, $200. I've got to go out there and buy this hockey stick, hockey glove, or something like that, or some sort of piece of equipment." And he looked at his son, and he said, "You want to spend $200 doing that?" He said, "Let me tell you something, son." He said, "You're not good enough." He said, "You're not going to be good enough." He said, "This is not your thing in life." And he says, "You want to spend $200 on this one piece of equipment?" He says, "Let's put things in perspective for just a minute." He said, "Is that really what you want to do with the rest of your life?" His son looked at him and he says, "You know what?" He said, "I'm not planning on playing hockey the rest of my life, am I?" He said, "Then why am I putting my money into that?" He said, "It's fine to play it, But why does it have to be the focus of my life right now? His son right now is a millionaire. You know, we sit back sometimes and we put all of our focus and our attention into things that do not profit us, things that keep us from God, and things in this case that our Lord said can even take us and cause us to be cast into everlasting fire. People sit there and hold on to it. There's people I talk to and they say, well, I'll be at church tomorrow. They're not at church today because they were out last night drinking. And you can say whatever you want to. But when you allow a can of beer to keep you out of church, you got a problem. When you allow a can of beer to run your life and keep you from serving God, you have a problem. When you allow a video game to keep you from being awake in church, you have a problem. There's nothing on TV at 2 o'clock in the morning that's good to see. They're just trying to sell you a bunch of knives. They cut through anything. Can, a tomato. I don't even know what they're called now. They used to be called Ginsu knives. Now there's probably some other name for them. Ginsu 3s, Ginsu 4s, Ginsu 5s. They just keep changing the company name. It's the same knives. They do not work. Long term, they will not work. Guess what? If you want a knife to be sharp, you have to sharpen the knife. If you do not want to sharpen your knives, you have to throw the knife away and get a new knife. You cannot buy a knife that will stay eternally and everlasting sharpened because the company that's selling it to you is going to go out of business and rename themselves Ginsu 4. It will not happen. There's no such thing. There's not an easy way to learn. If you want to learn something, get yourself a book and read and study and learn and become an expert. If you want to really learn something, if you want to really be a good Christian and learn something about the Lord Jesus Christ, get yourself in the Word of God and read and study the Word of God and learn those things. Instead, you know, I still can't play Mario Brothers. I was lousy as a kid and lousy today. I'll probably be lousy forever. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You can't make money playing Mario Brothers. And you can't be successful at that. And the things that you think are so important today, they're not going to matter at all in just a few years. So make sure you focus attention and time and effort on things that are beneficial. Okay? Now listen, my wife knows how to do things. She learned things when she was a teenager. She learned to sew when she was a teenager. She still uses that today. She learned to cook when she was younger. She still uses that today. I don't think there's any problem. I tell you, boys and ought to learn to cook. They ought to learn to be able to wash their own clothes. They ought to be able to learn some things. I tried sewing when I was a kid just so I'd know how to put a button back on in case I ever needed to do that. I'm really lousy at it. Something. If you're not good at it, by the way, pay somebody to do it. You can do that, can't you? If you really can't learn, you're going to have to pay someone. But I tell you what, I'm not scared of anything otherwise. Plumbing, I may get it wrong. But let me tell you, I don't have to pay $400 an hour for some plumber to come out there and fix it for me. I'm not afraid to go and work on something. I may get electrical wrong, but I'm not stupid. I'm going to turn the switches off and make sure I'm not afraid to learn. Okay? And if I can't get something, I had something here aggravating me at church for the longest time. I brought Brother News. I said, Brother News, can you come? He looked at it. He had it fixed in just a little bit of time. I put a breaker in there that was, I thought, a brand new breaker. And he said, it's just a piece of junk. So the breaker that I put in, he says, don't get that kind of breaker. Get this kind over here. He changed the breaker out. We didn't have any more problems. We haven't had any more problems over there since then. You know what? But guess what? I tried first, didn't I? I learned that. But what can you possibly learn? By putting your effort and your energy into things that do not matter. So it's not a question of acts, but it's a question of ways, your path, your influence. Exodus 32, verse number 7 through 10 says, the Lord God said to Moses, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Look here, it's a group of people that have turned themselves aside quickly. We have to be very careful, don't we, that we don't change our directions. You are not going to be perfect. No one's perfect. Okay? I'm sometimes ashamed. I have a book of Romans. I've got study notes, 104 pages. 104 pages for students and 104 pages of supplementary notes for me. It has all the verses and it has extra materials in it. So I have 208 pages so far on the book of Romans, and I just finished chapter 4 this week. And you know what has kept me and hindered me for so long from being able to do things like this? Is I knew that if I did something like this and wrote something like this and compiled something like this, I would make mistakes. Guess what? I'm over that. I make mistakes. When I find them, I correct them. I fix them. But there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be problems. You are not perfect. But at least put your effort and your energy into something that's positive. That's good. You cannot waste your time studying the Word of God. You can't waste your time praying. You can't waste your time talking to the Heavenly Father about how to get His power into your life, how to have His presence into your life. You cannot talk to the Lord and waste your time. You won't do it. You cannot read your Bible. You say, well, I didn't get anything out of it. You don't know that. It's so much better than sitting there watching TV and not getting anything out of it. You know what I mean? You get in those soap operas, and poor Bobby, he's got something again. He's in the hospital, and, you know, Susie's leaving him for the fourth time, and she can't find happiness, and they're just going on and on and on and on, and just found out that his cousin's his sister, and things go get worse and bad and worse, and the sorrows or the troubles of life. Let me tell you, it's going to continue that way on and on and on, and what benefit have you? What benefit have you? You know, we need to make sure that we allow our way to be focused upon the Lord. Deuteronomy 31:28, the Bible says, gather to me all ye elders of the tribes and officers that may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves, and look at this, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. America needs to turn its way back to God. Every nation needs to turn its way back to God. I love my country. My country cannot live like this. We cannot live selfishly. We have to turn back to God. Deuteronomy 29:18, lest there should be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Notice in Deuteronomy 30, verse 17, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Any way that leads us away from God's way, or anyway, it's not God's way, I should say, is idolatrous. It's gonna lead you to idol worship. Now, it may not seem like that at first. You say, well, I'm just doing my own thing. But you eventually start worshiping that thing, and then you can't do anything except for worship that new God that you put in place. And God does not have to be a stone statue. Now, some people here may have come from a place where they actually had stone statues. Maybe your ancestors or someone like that, they actually had stone statues, and they will fall down and worship those things. But now think for just a minute. You think that's funny. But think of what archaeologists are going to say about us. We have people that worship a golf ball. And just mentioning that, I'm just putting me in danger in church. Because we could have avid golfers in church, and they could sit back there and say, that golf ball is not a god. I'm not saying it is. I was talking to Brother Storm. He says, what you doing Monday? I said, well, I take Monday. We have a family day. You know, we try to do it on Monday. Sometimes I don't get to. I generally do some work on church stuff because I have Tuesday Bible study. But I say, I try to spend some time with the family. He says, you know, that's funny. He says, you're the first preacher, he says, that I ever talked to doesn't go out playing golf on Monday. He says, they all worship that little ball. I'll play golf. There's a lot of preachers I know of that don't play golf. Okay. Say, what do you do? I don't go around hitting golf balls. You know, they pretend like the golf balls church members that are causing them problems. I have a dartboard for that, all right? I'm just kidding. Do you know that we need to make sure we don't turn away from God? We do not have room in our heart for another God. We don't. These young people grow up, and if they keep their life clean and they won't put another God in front of the Lord, you know, people go along and they'll say, what are you going to be when you grow up? The best thing to say is, I'm going to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. I'm just going to be whatever He wants me to be. Now, the Lord doesn't mean that the Lord's going to have you serve Him in a capacity where you're serving the Lord in church. Do you know you can serve the Lord in any kind of job? It's just allow Him to guide your path, direct your ways. But I've seen a lot of young people. Skyline, you don't understand this. But I've seen young people, they right at your age and they just say, I'm going to serve God. And then they get to be a preteen, and along comes a boy. And he's so special, everything goes out the window. And I don't know what girls see in boys. Girls, they'll be so pretty and so sweet and so nice, and then they just chase after some ugly guy. Act stupid. But hey, it's up to them. Guys do the same things, don't they? They see a pretty girl who makes sense, normal, and they'll throw everything else in their life. Do you know we can worship a God and it be a person? We can worship a God and it be money. I've had several people tell me this, that all churches want is your money. And I've had people tell me that who have money, and I've had people tell me that who have absolutely no money. But you know, to me at least, money is about an enjoyment. You should be able to enjoy the money that God gave you. I think about Jack Benny and having to put his money down in his vault. Scrooge McDuck having all these vaults of money and never really enjoying anything that he had. And also, you can be dirt poor and not enjoy that God has given you nothing. Miss Annette this week, she said that she so much likes to be able to read her Bible. And she says she so much likes to go out there and just get out in the soil and be outside in God's nature. You know, we miss out on that a lot of times, don't we? Maybe you get stuck in an office somewhere and you just don't really get to appreciate what God has done for you. I had, I don't know who it was this week, so I apologize to you in advance, but someone told me this last week. They said there's all those things we wanted to do years ago and we couldn't because we were working, and now we're retired and we can do them now. It happens that way, doesn't it? Younger people and young adults, they just go along and they don't really get to appreciate all the things, listen, that God gave them. And they've gone out there worshiping everything else. There's nothing wrong with working and making money. You have to work and make money, okay? God made man for work, okay? He wanted us to have something to do. But listen, we need to learn to appreciate what God's done for us and be thankful for it. That's why, isn't it nice that we serve a God who did not put a dollar amount in things and say, this is what we're going to require of you? The Lord did something that was 10%. If you want to do more, that's fine. But He just put a number down there. He put a percentage. Government takes more than 10%. Okay? And listen, have you ever tried to call the government? That's fun. You call the IRS? One time my wife had to call the IRS. It told her to call back on Tuesday and hung up on her. So this is our busy day. Call back on Tuesday. We have a special place we go because no one else in the IRS understands nonprofits, but one place. Of course, isn't it nice that the IRS, when you talk to them, it says that you cannot rely upon the information that they give you? That's good. You give them 15% of your money, and they give you stellar customer service. Listen, I used to work for government. Okay? I understand this. I'm not trying to pick on it. It's just, it's impossible to do. But I'm just telling you, what do you get for 10% with the Lord? I mean, have you ever thought about that? I just guarantee you, you can call up today, go call up, try to get on the phone with the President of the United States today. Tell him, I pay taxes, I want to talk to the President of the United States today. You will not be able to get through to him. Try it. If you do, that's wonderful. Do you know that you can stop and pray to God and you get Him every time? Directly. That's better than the IRS. Right? Have y'all ever tried to, and this is not just for government, have y'all ever tried to call customer service anywhere? Dad had a problem on his phone, so I called the phone company, and I told him he was having a problem on his phone. And the girl goes through all the things, and she says, okay, she says, you've gone beyond me. We're going to have to send you to second level tier support. Okay. So I go to second level tier support. I go through all the same things she just went through there. The guy says, I have no idea what's going on with your phone. But he says, you can get this plan. And he says, if you buy this complete protection plan, he says, they will take care of the problem for you. He said, it's just $15. I says, okay. $15. And I said, I need it. He said, you need it right now, because he said, they're going to take care of the problem. Okay. So sure enough, the problem didn't go away. I called the complete protection people that were supposed to take care of me. I told them what my problem is. We went through all sorts of things with them. The guy says, I have absolutely no idea what's going on with you. He says, you're going to need to talk to the third level tier support. He says, I can give you the direct number to them. I says, okay. Called and talked to the third level tier support, went through everything on the screen. The girl says, I have absolutely no idea what's going to you. She says, I'm going to send you to the back room people. They have people that talk to people only when they want to talk to people. But they actually know stuff. You know, they can take phones apart. This is great. So they called back, because you can't get their number. But they called back, talked to a girl, nicest girl. She did everything, thought they had the phone fixed, and it wasn't fixed. But she says, you know what, you're going to have to talk to another person. There's a back room in the back room. Dad has this guy call him. This guy calls him, and you can't get his phone number back either. They told Dad, they said, there's this little box that you can put inside of your house, and you can get phone reception, but they said, it's unavailable at your address. I tried it the first. I told him at the first, I said, I'm calling. I said, my dad's old. I said, he really needs to be able to talk. I said, he doesn't need to go outside to have to talk. Okay? By the time I got down to the phone, because they keep records of all these conversations. Miss Kim, I'm just funny today. I'm not going to make it very far, but I'm funny today. This woman was talking to me, and I'm not lying at all. She calls me up, and she's talking to me, and she says, sometimes the elderly have problems. I said, yes, they do. And I said, I want to get this resolved. I said, you know, this is really, my dad's sick, and I said, he needs to be able to talk on his phone, and it really bothers him, and I said, it causes him all sorts of strife. And she says, yes. She says, we have to take care of the elderly. She says, do you know how to do this on the phone? Can you help him through this? I said, I'm hoping I can. Poor dad. He got to the last person, talked to him. They told us that this little box that they could put in the house is unavailable at our address. I tried the first time. Dad's old. Needs help. Is there anything you can do? I've heard of a little box. Nope, not available at your address. 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 He got to the back room of the back room. He's talking to this man after an hour on the phone with the guy, having gone through everything and saying that we have no idea what's causing your problem. The guy says, hold on just a minute, let me check something. He says, yep, you're available. You are acceptable to get this little box. It's on its way to you, and it'll be there this week. You just have to talk to the right person. Dear Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It sure beats everyone else, doesn't it? You see, we ought to understand and appreciate that God's way is better than man's way. You know, in 1 Samuel 7 it says, put away the strange gods. We should put away those things that distract us. Number 3, the purpose of idolatrous path is to lead us away from God. Well, I'm not going to read all these verses. They're up there. You can read them. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. That was the idea. That was what they were supposed to do. Amaziah, he turned away from following the Lord. You see, anything that's trying to put itself up as a God, it's going to take you away from God. You can't worship idols and worship God at the same time. You have to put the Lord first. You know, you can't go along and have a wife and a girlfriend at the same time. I mean, you can. Then you'll get to talk to Miss Beverly one day. You know, she can deal with all the support and everything else, and you can run the numbers through her, and if you don't pay that, then you get put in jail. You can go through her then. Right? But otherwise, you're not supposed to have a wife and a girlfriend at the same time. You're not supposed to have any other God along with God. See, isn't it amazing that Rachel was willing to die for her father's gods? She was willing to die for them. She sat herself down upon them when he came in the tent and said, I can't get up. He's searching all the tents around there. Whoever has them dies. And she stole his gods. When they get to Bethel, she willingly gives them up. And they bury them under an oak tree. The thing which was so important to her just a few chapters before is buried underneath of a tree. Isn't it amazing how things can change when we get our picture of the Lord correct and right in our life? These two ways are completely opposite. Way of blessing and cursing. We don't have time to look at all this, but you'll know in Shechem there, the children of Israel, over in Deuteronomy chapter 11, you can read about it, but in Shechem there, they were told that when they got into the promised land, they were supposed to go there, and half the tribes were going to go to one mountain, and half the tribes were going to go to the other mountain. There were going to be tribes of blessing and a tribe of cursing. 8 years ago, Mount Ebal, which Mount Ebal still is, I think, a barren, stony land. It's just a mountain that's just rocks. Nothing could look like it could grow on it. But right next to it, there was Mount Gerizim. And it had streams, and it had greenery growing on it, and it was covered, and it had shade, and it was just a beautiful place. And half the tribes would go on the one mountain, and half the tribes were supposed to go on the other mountain, and the tribes over here on the dry, blank, rocky mountain were the tribes of cursing. They were showing this is what happens if you don't do what God tells you to do. The tribes over here, they were the tribes of blessing. They were saying this is what happens if you serve the Lord. See, Satan's way is completely opposite to God's way. Now, sometimes it doesn't look like it's completely opposite. You ever taken the wrong path on an interstate before? You know what's interesting? When you get off on the wrong exit, when you first get off on it, a lot of times you're still heading the same direction. You're just that different than everyone else. And then you're that different. And you're that different. Before you know it, you're going to Toledo instead of Jacksonville. Satan never says, this is the way of death. When I was a kid, and they used to advertise for certain things, they used to advertise, you know, for instance, drinking was young, hot, hip people. They were all incredibly good looking. Right? But I've seen some people who've spent their lifetime drinking. just a little farther, and a little farther, a little farther. Right? They used to advertise for cigarettes when I was a kid. They used to have cigarette machines. Young people don't know anything about this. You know, bubble gum machines inside of places, and those little, you can get little stickers and tattoos and toys and little things like that for 25 cents. They had different things when I was a kid. I don't know why they don't have these anymore, but they used to have chickens. This is a cute one, but you used to drop a quarter into the machine, the chicken would cluck, out would pop an egg. Roll down the little slide and you get an egg. They don't do that anymore. I haven't seen one of those in a long time. They also used to have cigarette machines. And they would come on the TV with commercials, in magazines with commercials. Cool. A cowboy riding along on his horse. John Wayne. Mr. Tough. Mr. Cool. Mr. Smoked a lot. Mr. Died of lung cancer. So he was in his last movie, filming his last movie, and he could hardly even breathe. See, why don't they ever show that part of it? Listen, Satan only wants you to start deviating just a little bit. Just a little bit. It's so easy to get mad at the preacher, isn't it? Not me, but other preachers. It's easy to get mad at any preacher. It's possible for me to say the wrong thing. It's possible for me to do the wrong thing. And sometimes it's possible for you to be wrong. Probably. Potentially. But that's not even the point. It's just the way that Satan works. He can get you mad at Miss Bev. He can get you mad at the preacher. He can just get you going on the wrong path just a little bit. And before you know it, you're on your way to Toledo. It's not where you wanted to go. It's not where you planned on going. But Satan can always trip you up. And his way is completely opposite to the way of the Lord. There's a way of cursing, a way of blessing. Look at it later in this verse, and then we'll move on. But neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. We'll move on. There's verse after verse after verse. I mean, I can just keep going. I'm going to try to get through these first parts. 1 Samuel 8:3, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgments. Samuel's sons did it. Eli's sons did it. But I want to notice the idolatrous way turns us toward all manner of evil behavior. In Psalm 119:37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken thou me in thy way. Does that mean if we're not in God's way, we start looking around at things that are vanity? Yes. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So, you know, we need to have justice and equity everywhere in the world, in America included. But you know, isn't it strange? Justice and equity really comes through the Lord. We would not, in our country, we would not know how to judge correctly if it wasn't for the Lord. If you think about it, the foundation of our government, the three branches of our government, were built and based in the Word of God. The idea of a judicial, a legislative, the idea of an executive, that was based in the Word of God. They looked at pitfalls that came about by other people trying to rule themselves and be a democracy. You know, democracies have happened before. In Greece, they had democracy in some of the states. And people would go out there and they would sit out on the hill and they would talk about the matters of the day and they would vote. So we have a democracy in America, but we have a republic. Where we don't have to be directly involved in it. I've heard some people say today, well, we could vote on everything. But you know, who's going to go around and vote, actually read in and vote on it? We had people years ago, it would sound like it was a great idea. They were going to limit classroom sizes in Florida. So we voted on it. We said, let's limit classroom sizes in Florida. We have to have so many teachers, and but you know what? They couldn't fill the teacher quota anyway. Well, now it's gone from having teachers, now they go out and hire people to come in and are aides, teacher's aides, to be able to make the quotas. Not against that, but I'm telling you something, sometimes the people that are teacher's aides, they have absolutely no qualifications. See, we can come up with a good idea, but is it even possible sometimes? You know, that's what I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to attack those ideas, sometimes it's a really good idea. Let's have more teachers there. And it's very hard. How are you going to expect someone to go through 4 years of school and then you pay them very little money? It's a hard requirement. You know, we come along here when thinking about the Lord. And when we leave the Lord behind, we think, okay, so what? I'm going a different direction. But before you know it, it is not only taking you in a different direction, it's taking you into doing evil things, things that you would not dream of doing. I just think about it. You know, there's people out there, and they say, well, we're protesting, but they take a bottle of alcohol with a rag stuffed in it, and they light it on fire so that it'll explode, and they throw it out there. They could end up in prison for the rest of their life, killing somebody. All because of a quick judgment. And just 2 days ago, they were there playing a video game. Just a couple years ago, they were riding their bike out in the street. And now, at a young age, they could do something that would ruin their life forever. I talked to a man, young man one time. How old are you, Ray? How old are you? He said when he was 12 years old, he got his first drugs out of his mom's cupboard. He said when he was 13 years old, he was selling drugs in school. And I sit back there and I look at Ray and I said, but he's a nice kid. Sin will take you places you don't want to go. Okay? Let me move on because I'm slow this morning. I don't mean to, but it just means a lot to me. The idolatrous way either destroys or it must be destroyed. Look at Isaiah 1 down there. Good verses everywhere. But I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. The Lord's going to take away that which is a problem. And there's no way. You can't sit back there and say, well, Lord, you're not going to touch me. It's not going to happen that way. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? The Lord doesn't appreciate that at all. He doesn't want the wicked to die. Again, when the wicked man turneth from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. The idolatrous way must be destroyed. Either destroys us or it must be destroyed. Lastly, I want you to see this morning. I've got 7 more points tonight. But I want you to see this morning. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Lamentations 3:11 says, he hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Repeated the verse twice there. I want you to look here. Last thing that we're going to look at tonight, the thing we're going to look at tonight, but I just want to look at this one verse, okay? I'm not going to go through the rest of the points. I just want you to see this one verse. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. Okay? It's possible with God's help for us to straighten things out. There's a way of escape. Okay? So, but how do we do that? See, if we're not careful, we will miss the first part of this. Lamentations 3 was written after the fall there of Jerusalem. Everything had fallen apart around him. But look, he hath turned aside my ways. One time my daughter, and I'm done. One time my daughter, she was getting ready to do something. Can't even remember what it was. But it was dangerous. Have your children never done anything before? It was getting ready to do something that was dangerous? And she wasn't paying attention. And she was getting closer and closer to getting herself into trouble. And I reached out and I grabbed her and I pulled her back forcibly. And she cried. She thought it was mean of me to grab her and pull her back forcibly. I looked at her in her face and I said, I'd do it again. Because look where you were going. God says, or Jeremiah says, but he, speaking of the Lord, hath turned aside my ways. This is not where I want to go, but is this where God wants me to go? We sit back and say, well, I hope that God gives America everything, and I hope that everything keeps going wonderful, and I hope America turns back to God whatever it takes. Because we can't go generations and generations and generations and keep going and going and going like this. We can't have a country that hates itself. No man ever hated his own flesh. We can't have a bunch of people in our country that hate each other. And that ultimately goes back to this. God made us in the image of Himself. So the reason I love everybody and I love people is because I love the Lord. And when I see you, I see an image of Him. We can't have people that love each other if we don't love God. And we can't find God if we're not willing to get in His path and turn aside from our own paths. So the question is not how important is it to God that you turn from your ways, but how important is it to you that you turn to His ways?